Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to the most important and very specialist episode of Sex Talk of the Summer. I'm your host, DJ Corey, and we have fulfilling our public interest, or fulfilling our need to educate, inform, and
enlighten
the public. We have two of the premier members of Glenda with us in the studio tonight. I would like to welcome Allegra and Roy. to the show, and also I would like to make a brief, fleeting mention of my long-suffering co-host, Dr. Sexopoulos.
That's me.
Thank you all for listening.
I appreciate the new nutrient fluid in my brain vat, by the way. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I guess that was on sale at Target this week. Glenda stands for... Well, see, I'm really uncomfortable with this acronym, as we discussed in the pre-interview. Glenda, supposedly, like if you can't spell, like Glenda stands for the Gay and Lesbian East...
Actually, it doesn't have East End anymore.
Well, at this point, it's no longer the East End.
Really?
We've dropped the East End, so we sort of fudge it by capitalizing the E in lesbian.
Gay and lesbian. Oh, I see.
Neighborhood Development Association.
Or it could be gay, lesbian, and, I don't know, extraterrestrial. If you want to be
good one.
All non-heteronormative persons.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, or... Inclusive, if you spelled inclusive wrong. Because you're not listening bisexuals or trans.
Oh, could be education and, you know.
But does that make you feel better that we have actually dropped it, East End?
Well, a little bit, because with Under East End, it was Glinda, which, I don't know.
Well, that's like the Mexican Glinda. Glinda.
Well, it's closer to the Wizard of Oz, then. Glinda.
So the connection, obviously, is to Glinda, the good witch of the
North.
I'll let Ray answer that.
Surrender, Dorothy, Ray.
I mean, obviously, presumably the point was to have some kind of, like, some kind of kitschy gay reference to the gay community.
Yeah, it was the idea of one of our friends. My partner, Mike, and I rode it with Carnegie Mellon Crew, which you rode with as well. Years ago.
Sweet, sweet crew.
And a friend of ours, Randy Simmons was also a rower with CMU. And we were actually heading down to Washington, D.C. for a regatta. And we noted how there were a lot of gay and lesbian couples and singles moving into the East End area of Pittsburgh. Mike and I had, in fact, recently bought a house. Well, this is like, you know, Squirrel Hill, Point Breeze, Regent Square. Mike and I had just bought a house, in fact, on East End Avenue. And we were talking about the idea of, you know, we should do something, get organized, put together either a social group or a volunteer group or something like that. And Mike, since he got to Pittsburgh, had always wanted to start doing some volunteer activity, but not to specifically benefit the gay and lesbian community, but to benefit the broader community. And so things like going downtown and helping at a food kitchen or something like that. And Randy said, you know, I had thought about doing something organized, and I even came up with a name, the Gay and Lesbian East End Neighborhood Development Association. We liked it a lot, and we laughed because we thought, hey, we could be a volunteer group called Glenda, you know, like the Good Fairy. And so we decided to go with it.
The classic Ed Wood film.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, apparently some people have thought that's what it means.
Yes.
Although never even crossed my mind. And it wasn't until 3 years later that we found out that the character in The Wizard of Oz is actually Glinda with an I and not with an E.
3 years it took to
do that. Yeah, 3 years.
Well, you know, you were busy doing volunteer work, of course. You did it for your research. Well, so, I mean, I'm really suspicious of this. I mean, wasn't this really just an attempt to, like, get together and have, like, hot gay orgies? Like,
Unfortunately not.
You know, if there have been unofficial events, I haven't been invited to any of them.
And all kidding aside, I mean, your organization has grown by leaps and bounds. You're esteemed in the community. And I actually find it sort of interesting why you chose to go to the broader community rather than sort of helping specifically sort of gay and lesbian causes. I mean, why was that a conscious decision to integrate with the community in terms of your focus rather than...
I think in a way, to use your words, to integrate with the community was an important point for us. We do... you know, participate in some gay and lesbian events, but it's sort of the idea of showing people that we're friends, we're neighbors, we're interested in the community, we are members of the community instead of a a very small community. So it's just sort of, you know, showing who we are and going out into the broader community. And we're also very, we're clear when we go, we say that we are the Gay and Lesbian Neighborhood Development Association, and we're also very clear that we are out gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgendered, and there's nothing hidden about our motivations or about who we are.
It's really, the idea is really trying to kind of build bridges between, the gay and lesbian community with the broader community, trying to bring down some of the stereotypes so that people can get to know us as individuals who are compassionate and interested in improving our broader community, you know, improving Pittsburgh, not just the stereotypes that we have of the gay and lesbian community.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, on one hand, that's kind of noble, although the people that do volunteer work are already kind of, like, cool and liberal anyway. I mean, shouldn't you be really volunteering at, like, Steelers games and like, construction sites?
We've volunteered at Penguins games.
Oh, you have?
Yes, we have.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Yeah. How do the Penguins fans... since you said you advertise yourself quite openly, do they have a problem with it? Do they keep the kids away? Or are they, like, cool with it? Or what?
No, I don't think so.
A nice girl like you hasn't gotten married yet.
No, they didn't. I know we didn't have any problems.
Yeah, we haven't had any problems. And actually, we've had some really good experiences with people who, again, who have not necessarily had experience with interacting with a gay or a lesbian person. One of the projects that I always remember is a Habitat for Humanity project where we sent a group to volunteer at Habitat for Humanity, and we would make sure that Glenda was a parent so that people would ask questions, we'd get a chance to talk about it, and at the time we had these buttons that said Glenda on it, and there was this one volunteer from another group that had done Habitat for Humanity quite often and was working with one of our volunteers, Anne. And at one point said to her, "Oh, it's really nice to see that you're wearing name tags because, you know, people come and go. You never get to really know anybody. So, you know, Anne, it's really great. Or Glenda, it's really nice to meet you." And she said, "My name isn't Anne. My name isn't Glenda. It's Anne." And he said, "Well, what does Glenda stand for?" And she said, "It's the Gay and Lesbian." Again, at the time, was Gay and Lesbian East End Neighborhood Development Association. And he said, "Oh, we heard you were coming," and that was pretty much the end of the conversation at that point. But later on in the day, they were working again, probably putting up siding or something like that. And after several minutes, the way that Anne likes to describe it is that they started to actually bond. And at one point during the conversation, he said, "You know what, Anne? Just 2 weeks ago, my son told me that he's gay," and they ended up talking all about the issues of growing up and coming out and things like that, and he got a chance to talk with someone who could kind of give that perspective. So, you know, we have really neat experiences like that every once in a while. That one in particular, of course, sticks in my mind.
Are you actually a paid shill for the aluminum siding?
I didn't say whether it was aluminum. I just said it was siding.
And we've even worked with high school students. We recently did a project where we worked with West Allegheny High School, and we talked to one of the biology teachers, and he said that, you know, he found out about us before they did the project, and told the students and also asked the students to tell their parents, you know, that they would be with us, with, you know, the gays and lesbians, and if they didn't want to come, they weren't obligated to come, and most of the students came.
What was the project with the high school students?
That was
like
a Western
Pennsylvania. Rub down.
Sorry, it was flower planting. I'm trying to think. Have we had any oil rub down projects?
It was a Western Pennsylvania Conservancy flower planting.
Banned for life from your organization.
Yeah, right. It was a planting. Does that count?
Oh, planting a seed.
Yes, exactly. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. No, I mean, all joking aside, your group does wonderful work. It's been, you know, in the community for at least like about 10 years or so, hasn't it? 8 or 9?
Yeah, 94. Like February of 94 was our first project.
Okay, well.
Okay.
Seven years, but time, you know,
time flies.
As a graduate student, time has no meaning to me. If you wanted to call in and share your questions, comments, and concerns with Ray and Allegra. The phone number in the studio is 412, that's a mandatory prefix, 621-9728. And if you're on campus, it's just the 10-digit number 412-621-9728.
So what have you guys been working on recently? What's your latest project? You mentioned in the pre-interview that you were trying to, like, do more outreach, get your name better known.
Working on visibility.
Yeah. How are you doing that?
Well, in the past, we've done, like, one or two projects like that, where, like the Habitat for Humanity mm-hmm. project, where we just sent volunteers. More recently, we've been doing this thing called partnering projects, where we really are trying to do greater outreach. Rather than just sending 15 volunteers, hoping that we're going to interact with other volunteers from different groups and be able to kind of share, experiences, mm-hmm. background, things like that, we're setting up these projects where we ask the agency that we're going to be helping mm-hmm. if we can have, say, 40 or more slots, and then invite diverse groups to work with us in that project. Probably the best way to explain it is to give an example. In January, we did one at the food bank mm-hmm. where, of course, you know, you go to the food bank and you help sort food that's going to be distributed to needy families. And we invited and had a group from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, from Christ Light of the World Catholic Church. So we're reaching out to the different faiths. We had a group from Carnegie Mellon University, and we had a group from American Express, so going out to corporations as well, and then to other, say, minority-based groups as well. So trying to bring really diverse people together, diverse organizations together, and working together on a project, and then afterwards, at the end of the project, we actually set aside time for lunch, where we try to find a sponsor to provide the lunch for us. And during that lunch, we have a program where one person from each group stands up and says something about their organization, again to bring visibility to the differences of the people that are there, and recognize that in spite of our differences, look how we can actually come together and do great things for our community together. We also make sure that there's a printed program that has the list of the organizations and descriptions and that sort of thing. We have name tags that have the names of the groups that are participating, and we encourage people to mix up and work with someone from another group and again, get to know each other, not just as the stereotypes, but as real people doing things in our community.
That was very touching. I just can't help but think of your previous story about how, you know, this whole Glenda, Anne was wearing a name tag that said Glenda. I was wondering whether, when you have these diversity groups, whether each person should wear something that's emblematic of their group. Like, you know, the Catholics could wear little priest outfits. Maybe you could come in chaps, like assless chaps, and a thong.
Sure.
That's an idea. It could be fun.
Mm-hmm. That might
that might work for the Glenda car wash.
Hey.
Hey.
There you go. Or the bake sale.
That's an excellent.
The new village people, it takes a village, right?
But it sounds like I'm getting the message here that your group kind of transcends politics. Because, I mean, I would say that fundamentally, you know, you have to, at some level, have a problem with the Catholics, right? Because they certainly have a problem with you.
Well, I grew up Catholic.
Doctrinally. I mean, a lot of individual Catholics don't, maybe, but still, yeah. The church's official position is a little not quite where you want it to be.
I think what I'm finding, at least what I'm finding through this work, and it sort of goes to our message, too, is that I'm getting to know individuals instead of their organization, because I think I sort of feel the way you do. You know, well, I don't know how I feel about the Catholic Church at this point. I don't know how I feel about the Salvation Army and working with them, but... The whole faith-based initiative and how the internal memo Salvation Army said basically said they would come out and support Bush's faith-based initiatives if he would come up with a federal regulation that would keep them from having to follow any anti-discrimination laws with regards to gays and lesbians.
I didn't realize the Salvation Army that had kind of prompted that. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, in fact, that's one of our favorite projects. We in December, we helped do toy sorting with the Salvation Army.
My gut reaction is I don't want to do that anymore. But I also realized that this is a local project. We've worked with these people for years, and I know how much good it does locally. And that's a fight that I'm going to have to fight someplace else and not necessarily here with this local chapter.
In fact, the kind of the perspective that I've had in my head is that, you know, the Salvation Army may want to exclude us, but we're not going to exclude the Salvation Army. And, you know, we'll continue to do the project because, you know, working with the Salvation Army can hopefully ultimately change, you know, their perspectives of us and recognize that we are, you know, we are a benefit to the broader community, not people to be afraid of. Maybe if we were wearing thongs, they'd welcome us more. I don't know.
I think we're just too sincere for him tonight, right?
Too sincere. No, I can be sincere. I'm just
overwhelmed.
Yeah.
With emotion.
I'm torn between my responsibility to
educate and inform.
Educate our listeners about the good work that your group does and to get to the dirt about the foam parties, you know. The,
right. The after-hours steam room.
Uh-huh.
I'm torn between like, what, right, it, you know, enforcing the stereotypes that exist or transcending them, and sometimes.
How about combining them?
Right, maybe you have to do some kind of like Queer Nation ACT UP thing and take back the stereotypes. Right?
Well, it's interesting because we there was somebody from in Pittsburgh that came and to one of our projects. It was one of these partnering projects, and you might like this. We had several. For this particular partnering project, we had PPG, we had two CMU fraternities, and Chatham College, volunteers from Chatham College, and of course Glenda. No, but you know, but many of the volunteers approved of the partners.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, but what was interesting is that
straight but vulnerable frat boys.
I'm not sure the frat boys do much for the Chatham.
Well, no, I was thinking for the men and for the ladies.
Right,
you
then
have
there's the Chatham.
You know, the sweet intellectual.
There was something for everybody there. Mm. Absolutely.
Exactly. Wow. You could say that.
And
it was like a buffet.
The reporter from in Pittsburgh came to do an article, and the article that came out said something about how we're kind of fighting prejudice in a very subtle way, kind of a ACT UP, help out type of thing. And,
oh, I like that.
And I have to admit, I did like it.
And you got to hang out with frat boys.
You're doing more.
The frat boys were really cool, actually. Yeah, they.
I mean, after a couple of six packs, I think they're very cool. Right?
You know, they're every just, woman is two drinks like away from a little girl-on-girl action.
Yeah. So. Is it just two drinks from a
woman? Yeah, about two.
For a man, I thought it was about a six pack.
Yeah, woman's two. Hard liquor, though. Yeah.
For me, it takes like, you know, it takes like a fifth of JD and a Percodan just to get them to stay in the same bedroom with me. Is that because of JD Jack Daniels? That was clear.
I was going to say maybe if you moved your bedroom out of the pit down in the basement.
It's moister down there. So, and actually, I think one of your biggest things that I see you at every year, even though I don't approach your booth because I don't approve, is the race for the cure, which is this huge benefit for breast cancer. They do this every year here in Pittsburgh. It's at starts at Flagstaff Hills still, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's on Mother's Day every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you have quite a presence there. Don't you have dozens of little worker bees handing out?
We start at 6 a.m. unloading water from the truck, and that goes on till way too long.
Do you get to run in it? Do you get any kind of like, or you just like?
No.
Some people
you get to,
can, but
you
we get
to guard the water until race the slaves. End of the race.
Yeah, we put out signs and say, please don't drink this water. And, you know, people are disappointed and they think we're evil. We won't let them have anything before the race.
Yeah,
that seems kind of, well, I mean, that seems kind of controlling.
Before them,
but, you know. People associate gay people with hoarding. And, you know. So,
But even that's even a place where, you know, if you know that we're Glenda, then you recognize us when you see us. But the general runner doesn't recognize that we are this gay and lesbian group that's volunteering there. And that's, in fact, one of the things that we want to work on is building visibility. The notion of bringing our banner that has the name on it to projects and making it, you know, clear that we are this gay and lesbian group helping out in your neighborhood, in your community, with your cause.
What if you had, like, really funny suits, like Devo-style outfits that were, like,
pink boas?
Or maybe, like, yeah.
That would do it.
Well, you know, maybe outfits that were a dress on one half and a male suit on the other or something.
Going back to that.
On the Glenn or Glenda.
Glenda.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Could dance with myself.
Except that would feed into the stereotype again.
But it would also make you look like the villain Two-Face from the Batman comics, so maybe you'd want to avoid that. You'd end up alienating all these children who like Batman.
Didn't he appear in, was that Batman 2, the movie, played by Tommy Lee Jones?
Was he the Two-Face?
I forget which one it was. Wait, my producer just said something. Like, oh, he said, correct. I am correct. The thumbs up sign, which you know in, I think, Arab countries means, you know, some kind of insult, like put my thumb
or
up there or end or something.
Wow.
Isn't that true?
Is that an...
My producer's not responding to that, so I'm not really
Well, sure. I remember for the Atlanta Olympics, they for all the volunteers, they did a lot of training for them about, you know, different signs, different hand signs that mean bad things in different languages so they could use them.
Not to shake with your left hand, I guess.
I guess the okay, like this okay, like thumb and forefinger means like anus in at least some culture.
Well, that's bad in Brazil, too.
Really?
In Brazil, you're not supposed to do that.
What does it mean?
I don't know, but it's bad.
So, I mean, actually, the thing that I find kind of interesting is that, you know, at least sort of a lot of the kind of gay and lesbian politics you hear about lately has been very kind of confrontational, in your face, we're here, we're queer, you know, we're helping out, get used to it. and you've obviously taken a very different kind of approach, which I think is quite sweet, and I think is, you know, it's both insidiously clever and also, I think, very sort of nice, which is instead of like, help me out here, you know, instead of confronting people, you're kind of like winning them over.
Yeah.
And it seems like, given human nature, the only, I mean, I've always felt that it's always better to win people over. There's nothing in there. I mean, you can lick the last bits of saliva from the room of it if you want to.
No, I'll just lick the last bits of saliva from you later.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, given the way people are, it always seems like it's better to sort of win them over rather than to, like,
alienate them.
You know, alienate them and try to, like, force them to comply. But it does seem like there's two different approaches. And
yeah.
So you seem to pick mostly plan A rather than plan B.
Or plan B rather than plan A.
Interesting.
Don't tell him our plans.
Yeah, and you know, I've often likened us to kind of the Martin Luther King approach, you know, being part of the community and peaceful coexistence kind of a thing. And you used the word earlier, integrating. I mean, we want to integrate into the community. We are a part of the community. And one of the things that's neat more recently in the last couple of years is that we have lots of straight men and women who are starting to join Glenda and be Glenda volunteers because, you know, the focus is on diversity and acceptance of all people, not about being in your face and particularly promoting the so-called gay agenda.
Well, so that's kind of interesting. I'm reminded of the gay, lesbian, and straight teachers network. What's that thing called? GLSEN?
Yeah.
And they've deliberately sort of included kind of everybody except people that don't have a sexual orientation at all.
Robots.
And so, you know, I was wondering. I was wondering if you would actually deliberately take that kind of step, say, you know, if we want to be like inclusive, do we want to be like the sexual orientation neutral Eastern Slenda?
Slenda. Oh, that's good.
Wait, Slenenda. Sexual orientation. Sonenda. Sexual orientation neutral East End Development Association. Sonenda.
I guess Slenda would be the sexual lesbian East End Neighborhood Development Association. Allegra perks up.
So there's a follow-up question to that, which I'm going to test you with, which is, you know, I imagine that people in your group also have various kinds of political political politicality, and so you know, do you have any limits? Would you, like, if Fred Phelps needed people to help, like, rebuild his church or, like, put in new pews, would you refuse? Boy Scouts, if they wanted, you know, whatever. Like, imagine sort of an organization which is pretty opposed to, like, the gay cause. Like, would you draw the line anywhere? Would you ever adopt a tougher approach with people that you really, really don't like?
I mean, I think that's an interesting question. I think maybe Ray and I even differ on this question.
Interesting.
We probably do differ on this. I mean, I think that there could possibly be limits. You know, yeah, if it's Fred Phelps Church, I highly doubt we would, you know, work with him. I mean, we did one of the projects we did. We by accident there happened to be some Boy Scouts there at our project, and they worked with us, and they seemed to be fine with that. I think there are limits. I have a feeling Ray thinks there are not.
I don't know. The Fred Phelps thing.
just for our listeners, who aren't as sophisticated as I am, just for our, you know.
Including myself. I don't know who Fred Phelps is.
Fred Phelps is the famous God Hates Fags guy that goes to, like,
everything with
funerals. And
he went to Matthew Shepard's funeral.
Most famously and most egregiously had a you know, Matthew Shepard. One of his followers was holding a Matthew Shepard, you know, welcome to hell, some sign like that at Matthew Shepard's funeral, which is sort of probably almost as tasteless as you can be.
So you'd build pews, but they'd have lots of splinters in them, badly hammered in nails.
And I have to admit that I don't think that we'd ever be invited to do that because we don't do it, you know, surreptitiously. The organization that's getting our help knows who we are and why we're there. It's interesting because you ask about the Boy Scouts, and was it the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts? I'm not sure. That coming by our house to sell popcorn as a fundraiser. You know,
Cub Scouts are part of the Boy Scouts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you become – you're a Cub Scout, right. And then you're a Weebelo.
Yes, Weebelo.
Oh, I don't know that. But so I want to actually say it was the Boy Scouts. Right. Boy Scouts. Okay. And
I was kicked out during the transition to Weebelo. I thought
what were you kicked out for?
Weebelo morals. Weebelo.
I
thought it was We Belong.
No, it was Weeby Loyal Scouts.
Oh. But that's not
grammatically incorrect.
That's
not grammatical.
Well, it's all about, you know, lighting fires and building tents. It's not about grammar and any of these sissy concepts, right?
Yeah, I think it's part. It's a certain form of We Belong.
Hatchet tossing and lighting chipmunks on fire.
And like...
Buggery. Wait, sorry, I'm thinking of the Navy. What?
There was this... Well, I don't want to talk. This guy is actually pretty... I don't know. This guy that was just put in jail. This was in the news recently. The Scoutmaster put in jail. He was taking little Boy Scouts on camping trips and then having... You hear about this? He was forcing them to strip and spank each other, and then like there was some kind of like pseudo branding marking ritual
Good
that they
Lord.
Were doing—not actual branding, but some kind of like
that didn't happen in my boy's
space.
Did
I say domestic thing.
That?
And then now there's new charges coming up about him. I mean,
he was a troop master.
He was some kind of scout master. I mean, sometimes the tangents that I go on aren't necessarily. Productive. So let's pop back to.
So anyway, the Boy Scouts were knocking on the door,
just say they were asking, Boy Scouts.
asking if we wanted to purchase, or if I wanted
popcorn.
To buy some popcorn as a part of the fun. Pre-popped,
so
you know,
wasn't it kind of stale?
Specialty kind, you know, caramel. Actually, I have to say it was the best popcorn I've ever had. But anyway,
so you've already cut to the punchline. So
no, I haven't cut to the punchline.
Right.
In fact, I jumped right past it.
I
insisted. That I said yes, I am interested, but come back. And I gave him a specific time when I wanted him to come back because I wanted both me and Mike to be there, obviously ordering together. And that's you know, you talk about kind of insidious. You know, I want to be able to set an example. I want to establish that, you know, we are just like any other couple that you're going to encounter, and who's going to be he's interested in helping out. And contributing to your causes, in spite of the differences in maybe in the, some of the differences in ideology, and hopefully affect change that way, kind of in a peaceful way.
And I can honestly say that had they come to my door, I would have said no, thank you, whether my partner was there or not.
Yeah, and yeah. So clearly, within within the volunteership of Glenda, you'll see definitely different ranges.
So are you? What's the structure of your? Does your organization have a structure? And
yes.
Are you official? Are you both officers of Glenda? And what are your positions?
Well, Glenda is a 501(c)(3) charitable.
501(c)(3).
501(c)(3), nonprofit charitable organization. We've been that since.
Hang on, tax lady. We've got a phone call. caller has come on the show. So we're going to put the caller on the phone. Thank you for calling in. Did you have a question, comment, or concern to share with us?
Yeah, I do. First of all, DJ 2000, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm really honored to finally be speaking with you.
Oh, well, welcome to the show, listener.
And this is a little bit off-topic for your show tonight, which has been going very well, but something sort of stuck in my craw in today's media. So you probably all know that Planet of the Apes has just been released.
Yes, actually, I'm going to ask our producer just to turn up your volume a little bit because we're having some kind of auditory difficulty here. So if you could talk louder, and if our producer, who's I think left the building, could pot up the volume, that would be great.
Well, so you know that the movie Planet of the Apes has just been released, right?
Well, you know, I pretty much can psychically – whoa, a little too loud, babe. I've been stalking Marky Mark for the last 10 years or so, so yes.
Don't call him that.
I'm sorry. Mr. Wahlberg.
Is that wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think a man lost his eye for calling him Marky Mark.
I think so.
One really? Recently.
Not PC.
But yes, he's in Planet of the Apes.
Can I finish my question now?
Marky Mark and the Monkey Bunch.
No, I haven't quite finished kind of amusingly riffing on your questions. Okay, well, go ahead.
No, I riff away. I'm in awe.
I'm sorry. The movie's out. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it kind of sucks. Which I'm really sorry about because it looked like it was really cool and you know all that kind of hot gay ape butt sex.
Oh, yeah.
That I was expecting
tons and tons of submissive.
You know, after the Marky Mark
presentation.
Is that the right word? The thing was that there was originally a scene in it that involved like ape human lovemaking.
Yes.
That they cut out.
Marky Mark and Helena Bonham, or as I like to call her, Helena Bonobo Carter. We're supposed to be getting some interspecies.
And so my question is, like, what? First of all, what kind of society do we live in that we do that? And second, how far does, are our limits of tolerance going to go with respect to apes? And specifically I have the following point to raise, which is that, it's okay to sleep with developmentally disabled human beings, right? They're considered completely independently aware.
Yes.
In charge of their own sexual destiny. And some experts consider that very smart chimps are about on the same level, if not smarter than severely developmentally disabled humans.
So my question is,
what is the real metric we're going to use? Is it going to be some sort of artificial genetic distance, or is it going to be intelligence and some measure of intelligence and self-determination? That's my question. Thank you very much.
You raised some important issues here, caller.
Well, I'm not sure you called the right radio show. I mean, you sound kind of like a clone of that guy at is he at Princeton? That like famous philosopher guy who's
Ludwig Plutonium?
No, you know who I'm talking about. This guy is always raising hackles because he makes virtually the same argument with regard to, you know, how can we kill animals and eat them, and yet we don't kill our retarded babies and eat them, right? Because I mean, he makes this kind of example that, like, you know, Babe the pig is much smarter than, like, a newborn child.
Right.
And it's also much smarter than very severely retarded people. And so why do we eat Babe the pig and we don't eat – well, Babe is actually probably pampered in a Hollywood lot, but we eat lots of other pigs who are not Hollywood stars.
Don't the pigs taste better? Isn't that the answer?
Well, and Peter Singer, that's his name. So since you're all not sophisticated philosophers, I am, you should all go to the internet and look up Peter Singer and his whole vibe. But I think your question – I'm getting the feeling your question is a little bit too far afield for even this show.
Is that possible?
Where do you draw the line between human and ape? Is that what
– Well, that's
where sex comes in, right?
And where sex comes in.
So why should this interspecies sex scene between Marky Mark and Helena Bonobo Carter, as you put it, have been excised. Like, why does our society opposed to that? And I think it's because she's a stinking dirty ape.
That damn dirty ape. Actually, as a serious comment, I've read, thanks to the glory of the internet, like, I've read actually what's the right word for this? I guess essays or whatever.
Dwarf porn?
Yes, dwarf porn. No, apologia, one might say, from the bestialists, right? People have sex with animals. And it's interesting, the rhetoric that they use, and in fact the rhetoric that Nambla uses and so forth, is exactly the same as the rhetoric that the gay and lesbian community has been using over the last 50 years. Like, don't discriminate us because we're different. You don't understand the rules you're imposing on society. Like, they're arbitrary. Like, there's, you know, I'm having a consensual relationship with my horse. We both benefit. Who are you to say it's wrong? And I found that very interesting that they've just co-opted kind of all the rhetorical techniques of the gay and lesbian, you know, liberation movement of the last few decades. I guess because it was successful. And they're copying it.
Well, do you think it was really a copy, or it's just it's a genuine argument, a genuine position?
Oh, I guess I didn't mean to say copy it and that they didn't think about it, right? But they're using the same...
Right, I guess the question is whether, I mean, maybe what Ray's asking is, like, at some ground level, is this like a fundamental philosophical argument that anybody who thinks about it deeply must make, or are they just stealing someone else's good strategy, like in the way George W. Bush might steal, you know,
the free money strategy, or the
fuzzy math strategy, which was my favorite, like.
Right.
Well, you know, that really resonates with me.
Resignate isn't a word, but resignates with you.
In the famous words of our president.
Were you being
funny deliberately? Did I just step on your joke? Did you deliberately make
it? You apparently missed it. I remember like days before the election.
It's hard to keep up with questions, right?
You know, you don't hear everything. But I remember listening to NPR like the week before the election, and they played a speech that was being given by candidate at the time, George W. Bush, and he said, the Democrats don't think that economics resonates with the American people, but I can tell you this, that economics does resonate with the American people. And I thought it was really interesting that NPR made absolutely no commentary on the
liberal media.
they just let it play and let us hear it.
I got to admit, as far as Bush is
let George W. Bush be president, there has to be some chip somewhere that can find more verbally fluently than George W. Bush can talk.
I didn't hear any of that, caller. You were very faint.
Oh, that's okay. You've answered my question. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Once again, we've disappointed a caller and lost a listener.
I would like to add just a little bit, because, you know, this notion of the division between human and ape. My partner Mike is
an ape.
Is a psychologist.
Oh.
And actually has done studies that involved a kind of chimp, and it's interesting. He tells stories about these chimps that are part of the study, and oftentimes remarks on how, you know, you can't deny that these animals have personalities. They exhibit fear like humans exhibit fear, and you can tell that they're afraid. If they like you, you can tell that they like you. And the young adolescent males like to do what young human adolescent males do, play with themselves.
I thought you were going to say, like, reject me.
Well, they might do that.
I'm sure if you give them a sophisticated enough sign language, they could.
But with enough JD, you might be able to.
Yeah, I wonder if the drink limit to make a straight ape go gay is lower than that of a human.
It would be in units of bananas, I think.
Right? Maybe banana daiquiris.
I mean, not that I know anything about this, but that's never stopped me before. I mean, you know, of course, the standard sort of critique of that kind of thing is, like, how much projection or whatever the psychological term is are you doing? Like, how much of that is the human being, like, imagining that the right. animal has feelings? And, I mean, I think there's no, or at least there shouldn't be a question about continuing. I mean, even anyone who's had a dog that's a pet realizes it's, you know, capable of more sophisticated behavior than say, like, a fish.
Right.
Or,
but at the same time, your point is valid. Pigs are generally smarter than dogs, and yet we eat pigs.
Hmm. And many cultures eat some cultures eat dogs.
That's true.
I'm not going to say anything more on this.
We've wandered far afield here anyway. Unless you have any good gay pet stories.
Yeah,
we had some good gay pet stories the other week. Remember? Yes, interspecies, oh, pedophile, gay pet sex.
I mean, that was. I mean, even I was uncomfortable with that. I mean, this was a male.
That means a male
dog.
For example, a male human with a male animal.
This is a male dog.
It has to be a male. They have to be both. They have to be same sex in order for it to be gay.
Right. This is a male dog who had kind of
so this was a
capitalized on this nursing kitten's desire to nurse in a particularly
male
unnatural
dog,
way.
Male cat. And it just and it was this behavior that went on for years. They both
right.
appeared. I mean, I don't know.
The way it was presented to us, like whenever guests would gather at this person's house, the dog would trot out his little, you know, do you want a sex show act?
I'm trying to
raise
imagine
the
what kind of a
that.
sex show act. Was it on a stage?
I mean, just to fascinate you with the breadth of my knowledge, I think, I mean, the other interesting thing is, oh, we've got a caller.
I can't imagine why.
Paul Caller, do you have a question, comment, or?
Yeah, I just have a comment. It's funny that you're talking about this eating of animals thing, because I've been talking about this all week long. It's really strange.
Really?
But this thing about the pigs and the dogs and what's smarter and what's dumber, just a real quick comment, I'll be out of here. But don't you think it's interesting, like in, I don't know, I don't want to say like Native American culture, but I'm going to say it anyway, Native American culture, they think it's surprising that we eat cows who are slow and dumb and you can pretty much walk up and whack them on the head, they're dead and you eat them, where they feel that going into the woods and chasing a smart animal like a deer.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get at is that you basically are what you eat. And when you're eating a slow, dumb animal, you live in a culture full of slow, dumb people. And when you chase around animals that are smart and try to get away from you, you would think that that's going to reflect on how you respect the animal and how you end up actually being.
I'm both attracted to and repelled by your argument. Because
yeah, I was going to say, to extend your argument to the logical extremes in both directions, right, that would make vegetarians the stupidest people on earth.
Not necessarily true.
And it would make the best food, of course, to be humans, right? Specifically, track runners.
The best. I mean, it's like, obviously, it's like you look at 90% of America, and they're basically slow, dumb cows just, you know, watching television. But, I mean, what I'm trying to get at is...
But Bill Gates would be okay, I suppose.
Oh, no. Well,
I wouldn't mind
way too much time on that, gentleman.
Right. I mean, but I think your argument is both fascinating and treacherous. Just because.
Just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, I just want to go with you on a little bit. Just because, you know, you talk about deers. Deers are not smart. Deers are lithe. Deers are very jittery. They are very good at evading predators.
Absolutely.
But
you
so,
have respect
but
for that.
There's different qualities, and different animals are good at different have different.
I absolutely agree.
So,
but don't you think that the actual pursuit that you have to engage in to actually capture it. I mean, when you think about what it has to do to your body, meaning that you have to be physically in shape in order to capture this thing, instead of walking up to it with a sledgehammer and knocking it on its head.
I think it would be a much more interesting world, yes, if we had to kill ourselves, everything we eat.
I would kill myself. I mean, I would prefer that if it was that way.
Well, so I mean, it's kind of like, I'm thinking, like, if I wanted to emulate, you know, one of nature's perfect predators, like either a shark or, like, you know, a panther or a tiger or something. I mean, if a tiger was like, if there was a cow kind of ambling around in the African, you know, on the plain somewhere in the desert, and like a cow was kind of sitting munching around, the lion would have no problem like attacking it and eating it. It's not like
it was. They don't live there anymore. I mean, it's like basically.
Well, they don't live there, but I'm just saying.
There's plenty of cows in Africa. Actually, there are a lot of nomadic.
Oh.
I'm just trying to get back to your original thing about this. The guy, the last caller, who was talking about the whole sexual thing
his own
that's
little
going on,
twisted, sublimated bestial desires, right?
But the thing is, it goes beyond that, and I'm just wanted to make that comment.
Well, I think it's interesting. Have you ever
it's better if you pursue. Is that what it is?
Not necessarily.
At least you get the exercise.
Both when it comes to food and sex, it's better if you pursue.
You need to earn the food. Well, I think you're kind of saying you need to sort of earn the food that you hunt. And the reward, the nutritional, the spiritual nutritional reward from the food that you eat is going to be proportional to the quality of the task.
That's pretty much what I'm getting at.
And here's something interesting, else interesting. So, I can't remember where I read this. It was actually might have been Scientific American. It was a summary of a book that was published a while ago.
How It's for Children?
Yes, exactly. It was a Gus and Gallant, a Goofus and Gallant comic. Goofus eats cow while Gallant hunts his own deer. But no, it was talking about early
early human development in Africa, right? Almost certainly the preferred hunting method from archaeological evidence and from physiological evidence was you use these small spears to mark animals. And then you just walk after them for the rest of the day. And most animals, say an antelope, right, is built for small bursts of speed and then needs a long time to rest and build up glycogen reserves or whatever. But humans can walk all day. I mean, I know from personal experience you can walk 20, 30 miles in a day without actually being all that exhausted. But an animal can't do that. So once you've marked it with a spear, like, you can just walk it down and eventually walk up to it and strangle it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And so in some sense, you know, this the myth of, like, the noble hunter running through the woods, knocking an arrow, and then, like, shooting down the deer is not...
Well, you have to be clever to do it.
Well, you have to be able to walk.
We've basically built a method of eating food that requires no cleverness at all.
Which is kind of like, you know, you're out at a bar and you see someone, you can either pursue them and go for an attack, or you could just get them drunk.
Right, right, and calm down, dull their senses.
So this is actually really good. So, the idea I could just, like,
why isn't your show on for 2 hours?
Sorry, what?
Why isn't your show on for 2 hours? Because you guys, it takes you like 45 minutes to get warmed up, and like the last 15 minutes of your show is like really good. And like the first 45 minutes is you like playing this cold foreplay with the...
Right, absolutely. Foreplay and then 5 minutes of action, and then we have like a 1 week refractory.
And it's like you go on to 1 o'clock in the morning. So why don't you guys just stay on to 1 o'clock in the morning every Tuesday night?
Well, I'm really – there's multiple answers to your question. And first, I mean, I'm shocked that we have any listeners at all. And thank you for listening.
Probably not 5 years, but almost as long as you guys have been on.
Are you like – so can you just – we don't want you to reveal your identity, but what's your general category? Are you like a member of the community? Are you a CMU person?
Well – depends on how you look at it. No, I'm not a CMU person. I don't go to Carnegie Mellon.
Wow.
I used to be a DJ on that station, like, years ago.
Interesting. Oh, a DJ on what? What was the
on our station?
Oh, station.
RCT?
RCT, yeah. Wow. It was, like, in the early 80s, like 83, 84.
I mean, we're always interested in finding out more about our listener. So.
Yeah, but I have a night job. I work nights, and you're the only good thing on the radio. I can listen to this all night long.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I want to make sure our producer is listening to this comment because he thinks, you know, he's been trying to get us off the air.
No, longer.
I hear that. If I had a nickel for every time I'd heard that.
What is up with this taking 2 weeks off business? I got to listen to those sports guys. I had to have a conversation with those guys 2 weeks ago. Those guys are a bunch of bullet heads. What's going on with that?
Well, DJ Corey and I were on a...
We had a little spat. We were trying to get a guest. We tried a bunch of guests. Everybody like failed on us. People don't have the kind of
time.
Yeah, people are not willing to like be in a closed room with us for an hour.
Why don't you take it on?
And we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
A great bar, a gay bar, a this bar, a that bar. Go to a different bar every Tuesday night. Just put the show on location.
There you go.
That's a brilliant idea. How was it? Didn't a new bathhouse open in Pittsburgh recently?
I'm trying to get those guys.
Go there. I don't care. Anyway. Stay on longer. And, like, there's an endless stream of topics. Gosh.
We
agree.
The problem you say is, I mean, see, what you called 45 minutes of cold foreplay was, I call, like, us actually trying to stay on topic. I mean, people came.
Was you and me, Ray?
By the way, I know that this has been, like, a sort of branch off of the topic, and I really appreciate what those other people are doing. I think it's a great thing. I wish they would move into my neighborhood, but they probably won't.
Where do you live?
Polish Hill.
Polish Hill. Interesting.
Oh, okay. I love that neighborhood, though.
Yeah. I mean, we could use some good people in the neighborhood, regardless of whatever.
If you have a contact, let us know.
Well, go to Gooskies. It's like, you know.
Then you could be Fender.
Did you just say go to Gooskies?
Yeah. Well, that's the hot spot in Polish Hill.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Interesting.
Well, you know, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yes. So, as hot as the spots get in Polish Hill.
Yes.
But yeah, so yes, as you know, the 45 minutes of foreplay you referred to as, that's trying to be serious.
I know. It's your
be earnest.
Thing is that you're
and then it wasn't until like 15 minutes ago that we digressed into ape sex.
Yeah, I know. And usually it's like something that's more online with what's going on with the show. And it's like tonight it happened to be something that was really far off. But in general, you guys should be on for 2 hours.
I'd have to get sort of slow.
And you know what? You guys should go out an hour before the show starts to get the cold foreplay out of the way.
Oh, good idea.
Well, I was going to say.
Start at 10, go drinking for an hour, come back. Get started with the show 11 to 1.
Have you ever done this like in the dorms with students?
Fine, go to the dorms. I'm sure the people there.
That could actually be, MTV does it all the time.
Okay.
I'm taking
the reins back. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening. I just have to say, your ideas are great and interesting.
You're not going to stay off.
Well, I might.
You're not going to go out before you
do. I just have to see if my psychiatrist can give me the slow release Wellbutrin.
If you love the work, you'll do it.
If you love the work, you'll do it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that simple. I got to go. I got to get back to work. I'm running.
Good luck. Thanks for
listening. This is my second call. I'll call you again in the future. But you got to have something really interesting. You guys got to get more out on the edge. It's like this is getting the same thing every week. You guys got to get crazier and crazier. There's all kinds of weird people out there. It's so easy.
So you want Howard Stern in Pittsburgh, basically.
No, we
have an action-packed month in front of us.
Hang on here. If you have contacts, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just you get in contact with me, babe, and you get
Kirk
some...
Kirk Diurnus, have you ever heard of those people?
Just talk. Call the producer after the show. We'll talk, babe.
Okay. Yeah, call in 10 minutes.
Okay, bye.
10 minutes? Okay.
Sorry about that.
Are the listeners come first?
That's right.
We have actually sort of... I was going to say, we have automatic restraining orders that we print out, sort of automatically. And caller ID, they just go automatically to the police database. Allegra and Glenda. Allegra and Glenda? Allegra and Glenda. I'm going to briefly return to our topic in the final, seconds that we have left. And ask you, what's next? What's coming up for Linda? And how can people who are interested get in touch with you? Actually, producer, is Andrew here? Okay. Andrew and his
dog and pony show,
life altering, ravey
music,
movie, freaky music stuff is coming up next. But do you have a phone number or contact thing?
You can go to our website.
The website,
which is glenda.org.
Glenda.
Glenda.
Yes. Glenda.org. www.
Most of our listeners are in prison and they don't have access to their.
So they can call us collect at 412-80. Yeah. 808-3340. That's our voice line, which gives information of upcoming projects.
412, say that again?
412-808-3340.
Great, fantastic. And it's glenda.org.
Yes.
The time is flying by. I don't know how. How this happened, but...
It went slow for 15 minutes, then it's just gone.
It's the tantric nature.
It was that foreplay thing.
To get you guys lubed up.
Yeah. Thank you.
We gotta go. Glenda and Ray. Glenda, well, see, I have something to talk about this. Allegra and Ray, it was great talking to you. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Tune in next week, Tuesday at 11, probably, and we'll have some edgy, kind of life altering breakthrough guests to sate your every craving.